LFAF, the Citizens Clean Elections Commission, in accordance with instructions in the executive session.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? There being none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 It passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, that concludes item 5B. Item 6, discussion of possible action on MUR 14-009, Justin Pierce and candidate committees, Gary Pierce. Okay, Mr. Collins.
Yes, commissioners, and I'll try to make this brief. We received a complaint alleging essentially that a person who was asked for Justin Pierce is a participating candidate for Secretary of State. The allegation was that a person was asked for a $5 qualification form and was told they wouldn't have to submit the $5, which would be a violation. Provided an opportunity for Mr. Justin Pierce and Gary Pierce to respond per the terms of how the complaints are handled. They did that. The recommendation recognizes that, in fact, there's no evidence that the complainant actually signed this form or that the form was included in anything that was used to obtain the Clean Elections funding, and so I would just recommend that we conclude the complaint. I don't know if the complainant is here. I rather doubt it. And Mr. Lee Miller, who is an attorney who represents Mr. Pierce's campaign, is here. If you have any questions for him, but my recommendation would simply be that you take that this complaint be resolved and no action be taken.
Okay. In light of that, do you have any comments, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, Lee Miller on behalf of Justin Pierce for Arizona. I simply wanted to note that Gary Pierce very much wanted to be with you this morning to address any questions you might have. Unfortunately, Commissioner Pierce is next door, and the Corporation Commission is likewise in session this morning, so he's unable to be here. That being said, we stand by the response we provided, and I'm available for any questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Miller?
I think it's a good excuse if you're a commissioner and attending a commission meeting.
Mitch, we're hearing some of that background noise. If you could mute again, I'm sorry to do that to you.
But sure.
Thank you. I don't hear that there are any questions, so thank you. Alrighty, are there any motions with regard to the recommendation of the executive director? All right, guys, let's move it. I'll move that we adopt the executive director's recommendation and take no action with respect to MUR number 14-009. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, all opposed? Being none, it carries unanimously. All right, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Lee.
Next item on agenda, item number 7. Get to it, sorry.
Yeah.
MUR 14-010, Jamashita Peshlakai. If you could introduce Mr. Collins, and I don't know if there's anyone here for the complainant or for the respondent.
So. Chairman, Commissioners, Canada Peshlakai, who's also a state representative, this is an internal complaint. She missed a debate that she was mandated to attend under the Act and Rules. She contacted us and let us know that she had, in fact, missed the debate. She also provided a doctor's excuse, essentially, for having been sick and having missed it, which was acceptable. And therefore, we do the internal complaint because that's the process that we have in place. But we just would ask that you take no further action because she has explained properly why she wasn't at the debate.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone?
Mr. Chair, I move to.
Okay, just is there no comment? No one here to comment? Okay, I'll invite a motion then. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move that we take no action on MUR 14-1010.
Okay, do I have a second?
I second.
All right, thank you. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. That carries unanimously. Thank you. Now I'll move to item number 8, discussion and possible action on MUR 14-011, Scott Smith and candidate committees. Mr. Collins, please introduce it, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, this is an allegation. I'm going to try to summarize it really briefly. It's in the recommendation. However, you had an advertisement that was done by a group called the Business, I think either Better Leader or Business Leaders of Arizona, that discussed another candidate, Doug Ducey, and involved a gentleman who says he has a complaint against how he was as a franchisee with the company Mr. Ducey used to run. That same person then appears in a press release put forward by Mr. Smith's campaign. The allegation was that under the test similar to the things we discussed with respect to the earlier complaint, that there was either actual coordination or legal coordination. We have, you know, no evidence of actual coordination. And similarly, an absence of evidence of legal coordination, and so therefore, the recommendation is that we dismiss the complaint there as well.
Okay. Anyone here for the complainant or
not? Neither the complainant nor the respondent are here.
Okay, thank you. All righty, any discussion from the commission, or I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Collins, your investigation seemed to suggest that the candidate's representative contacted Mr. Red only after seeing the independent expenditure.
Yes, that's correct.
The independent expenditure ad, right?
Correct.
Okay. So in that case, I move that if a motion is appropriate, I move that we take no further action on MUR 14-011.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, and it carries unanimously. All right, thank you. Item number 9, discussion of possible action and report on voter and public education activities in the primary election and planning for the general election. Mr. Collins.
Yes, commissioners, if you would, we wanted to do this on the 28th, but with the commission meeting adjustment, we do want to get this in front of you. This is, Gene has been working very hard on putting together a look at some of the issues that the chairman and Mr. Tittle have raised in around language, and generally looking at a recap of where we've been. I like to think of this as the good news part of the agenda. And I think that, as everybody understands, that the voter education and public education purposes of the act are very important to the commission, and we need to. And so we do have some time we want to spend on that. I think that I'll just turn it over to Gina, and then we'll go from there.
You're not suggesting the previous part was the bad news part, right?
This is the feel good part.
I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, I'm happy I could be the feel good portion. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, thank you for allowing me to present today. For the record, my name is Gina Roberts. I'm the Voter Education Manager, and I joined the staff about 2.5 months ago. So I'm excited for my first presentation before you. And Commissioner Titla, I was the one that emailed you earlier. So what we'll get started on today is a brief recap of what we've done with our voter education efforts to date, and then we'll transition into our responses to the Commission's request for information on Native American language and usage and some of the ideas that we have. So a few reminders as we get started. All of this is centered around the fact that low information voting can be detrimental to the voter, and our goal is to put the facts within the reach of the voter. And with all of the information that's out there, most of it is biased, is coming from the candidates themselves. It can be very difficult to feel like an educated voter and to have confidence when you're filling out your ballot. So In 2012, it became really evident that there was a greater need for voter education, and we saw this through issues that happened in the general election. There were a record number of provisional ballots. There was a low understanding from independent voters that they can actually vote in the primary election, and it just seemed really difficult for voters to be able to separate fact from partisanship. But thankfully, we feel that there are solutions that we can provide to the voters, and that includes encouraging voters to complete their early ballots correctly and on time, and that independents do have the constitutional right to vote in the primary election. And we also like to direct voters to our website so they can obtain the facts. This approach, it's an umbrella effort, and basically we want to position Clean Elections as the nonpartisan resource, as the trusted resource of voters. And we did this in conjunction with two time-specific tactical spots that we created. One was focused on the early voting issue, and the second was on primaries and independent voters. So in your packets, you have a media grid that I won't spend too much time on discussing, but basically this shows you what the campaigns are that we have going and the outlets that we have them aired on, from TV to print to online. So going back to the creative, the platforms that we discussed with the early ballots and the independent voters. So again, in 2012, there was a high increase of provisional ballots, and this was because voters, they were on the permanent early voting list, they received their early ballot, but they chose to not vote that early ballot and instead go to the polls. That will result in a provisional ballot. And most people, we heard from voters that they didn't even realize they were on the permanent early voting list. So we saw a problem here. We wanted to educate voters about how the early ballot process works. The other issue was there's a low turnout of independents in primary elections. And in this year, in 2014, independents actually became the highest voting bloc in the state. And so to help encourage and inform voters of their rights, these independent voters, we also developed a tactical spot to educate them on their right that they can vote in the primary. And these direct voters to the Clean Elections website so they can get additional information. So I'd like to play those spots that we have. The first one is for early voting.
Attention Arizona voters, if you've requested an early ballot, use it. Vote it, then sign it, seal it, and send it. If you use the early ballot, you do not need to show up at the polls on election day. So remember, vote, then mail in your early ballot. This message brought to you by the Citizens Clean Elections Commission. Go to azcleanelections.gov.
Okay, and the next spot that we have is targeting the independent voters.
Attention independent Arizona voters. You are now the largest voting group in the state, and you can vote in the August 26th primary election. All you have to do is ask for a party ballot. For more details on how independent voters can vote in the primary, go to azcleanelections.gov. Don't get left out. Let your voice be heard. For information on voting in the primary, go to azcleanelections.gov.
So these are really alert-style messaging, and it captures the voter's attention, and ultimately it says, hey, this is the information, this is what you're entitled to do, go to Clean Elections website to get more information on this subject. And I kind of think of it as a trifecta. We have our Cut Through It campaign that we also created, and this corresponds to our voter education guide. And it's really about cutting through all of the information, all of the bias, the partisan information, the negative information that is out there, cutting straight through that and getting the facts, hearing directly from the candidates in our voter education guide, so you can feel confident and informed as a voter. And, you know, unfortunately, as I just mentioned, a lot of the messaging that we see out there from candidates and political committees, unfortunately, it's negative. And so this really can result in voter apathy, distrust. Voters want the information, but they want it on their own time as well. Voters don't like to be interrupted during dinner with their families when they get a phone call from a candidate committee. So what we have is the Cut Through It campaign, and that just encourages voters to basically skip through all of that messaging that you're getting, the biased information, and use your voter education guide, go to Clean Elections, and get the facts. And so we have our Cut Through It campaign right here. This is a 60-second spot that we have that is airing in theaters and TV.
We're back. It is Tuesday, Garbo, legal double election day. Coming up, we put the door on this day of the day in the statewide election. Run. Morning, Mom.
Hi, sweetie.
Enough yelling about ballot. We'll be looking at you proud.
dishwasher cognitive crockery. Big day today. Who should I vote for? The only voice in your head this election season should be your own. Get the facts and vote with confidence. Visit azcleanelections.gov.
Seen that several times and I still think it's funny. And the dog I'd like to mention actually belongs to Tom. That was in the very beginning. Very cute dog. But really, that focuses on our hero voter, and he goes throughout his day and he hears all of this information coming at him regarding the election. It's overwhelming, and the actors are speaking gibberish, but really, at the end of the day, when he's at the polls and he's voting, he's got all of this information he's trying to sift through in his head, but then you have that confident voter next to him who has our voter education guide, and she's smiling, she's sure of herself, she's sure of her vote. And so that was really the focus of this Cut Through It campaign. And we have those in 30-second spots as well that we're running on TV and radio, and we do have these in English and Spanish. These are some examples of the statewide print ads that we have. So that follows the gibberish theme. And in addition to print, we also have our online ads as well. And again, all of this points, it directs voters back to Clean Elections website to get the information, to get the facts. So how is this doing? How's it working? Is the campaign successful? And this chart, if you look at the orange line that has the dots on it, that shows how many website hits that we're receiving. And you can see it's trending really nicely at the beginning, but if it hasn't captured your attention already, I want to point you to that very top dot. And that shows how many hits that we got when our campaigns were running on TV. And you're looking at over 9,100 hits. So that's really impressive, and that tells us something very important. It tells us it's working. Voters are seeing our ads, and they are going to our website to get the information. So it's really positive feedback that this is working. That's a brief recap of what we've done so far, in addition to our voter education guide and the debates that we've had. So at the July commission meeting, staff heard from the commission. You wanted to get some information on the languages, the Native American languages, and the number of speakers. And so I was able to find a lot of information on the web. I think Commissioner Hoffman had mentioned, you know, the website would have a lot of information. But what I wanted to focus on today is the data that we were able to get from the U.S. Census Bureau. And you have that information in your packets as well. But what I wanted to highlight in the slide are the top Native American languages that are spoken. And so the American Community Survey, which was released through the U.S. Census Bureau in April of 2010, it identifies Navajo as the top Native American language that it's spoken, with 88,251 speakers. We also have Apache, Pima, and Hopi. So these are the ones that were identified in the survey as the top languages that are spoken. And we have some ideas on how we can increase our outreach to one Native Americans across the state, but we do have some ideas as well that will specifically target the Navajo speakers. And what we've done so far with our paid media is we have print and radio ads that are currently out there, and so those are the newspapers that we're hitting and the tribes that they're affecting, the outreach, and the stations as well. But I just want to point out that what we've done so far, these print and radio ads, they've been in English. So one of the options that we want to explore is actually having them spoken in the native tongue. So we would like to explore translating them into Navajo to target that large group of speakers. And we would also use our contacts with the county recorder's office and the chapter houses to reach out directly to the voters. In particular, Apache County, Coconino, and Navajo County, they are and have agreed to be great partners with us to help get this information out, the Navajo translation out to voters. And on these radio stations, they actually have translators on site, so they will take our information and translate it and will be broadcast in the Navajo language. On the PR side of things, when we do our press releases, we do target Native American communities. And so this is just a listing of who we include. To increase our efforts, we are actually going to start reaching out to 21 of the federally recognized tribes in Arizona. We're going to reach out directly to their chairs and their leadership. And For those communities that don't have traditional newspaper and radio stations, we'll try to reach them through their newsletters. So we're going to reach out to them. We're going to see what are the best ways that we can provide them with voter information. But basically, that's going to be one of our first steps is developing that partnership, reaching out to them. One of the ideas that we have that we're very excited about, and this involves Commissioner Titla, and this was in regards to the email that I had sent you, Commissioner Titla, we would like to organize an event where Commissioner Titla would go out and he would represent Clean Elections and discuss the resources that we can provide to voters and provide more voter general election information. And we would do this through a trip where we can, of course, schedule a teleconference as well, but we want to reach out to the local media in those areas and contact the tribal leaderships and basically just have a presence and say, "This is, we're Clean Elections, we're here, we can provide you with information," and we just, again, we want to start building those partnerships with the Native American communities so they can feel that they can turn to Clean Elections for information. I had the opportunity to attend a work session that was conducted by the Secretary of State's office on August 1st, and essentially what the Secretary's office does is for their pamphlet that they send out for the general election, which includes the ballot measures, they translate those into the Navajo language. And the process for doing that, it involves a paid state contract translator, but they also have employees and the county recorders from across the state, in particular Apache, Coconino, and Navajo counties, where these folks come down, they sit in a room, and they go word by word through all of the ballot measure text, and they translate it together. And the reason why they do that is so, one, there's consistency when this election staff member is walking door to door and they're educating voters in the Native American community, they're translating it the same way across the state. So it was a really it was very interesting. I was happy to attend. It's a beautiful language to hear them speak it. I didn't understand a word of it, but it was very beautiful to hear them speak that language. And in the lower right-hand corner is the Apache County Recorder. That's Lenora Fulton. And so at this work session, I was able to develop partnerships with these individuals that were there. There were about 13 folks there, and it included county recorders and election officials. And it also had the head of the Navajo Election Administration. So through them, I hope that we can reach the chapter houses, and of course with the assistance of the Secretary of State's office as well, that we have these direct contacts that we can use to get voter education information out to the Native American communities. So one of the things that they expressed that they would like to see from our office is just basic general election information. They really don't have a lot of resources, and so they were really happy to hear that Clean Elections is willing to help, and they are more than willing to do the legwork in distributing this information. They just need resources, and so that's where they would like to turn to Clean Elections to help provide that information. One of the ideas that we have from this, from attending that work session, is we would like to translate the statewide and LD 6 and 7 portions of the candidate statement pamphlet into Navajo. Those legislative districts would be the districts that have the highest speakers in Navajo.
That's sort of where I was going with my question I was going to ask, because it would seem to be best rather than expend resources translating for districts where it has no relevance at all to the Navajo community, at least to do it in that.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. And that is the sentiment that we heard from the translator herself as well. It would not be cost effective, and it is very time consuming to actually translate into Navajo as well. So in order for us to provide this service for the general election, we just want to focus on the applicable districts and the statewide contest as well. And in addition, we just want to provide general information on Clean Elections as well to these folks. So it was a great meeting, and I was really happy to work one-on-one with these folks and develop this partnership. With that, I am happy to answer any questions, and I welcome your feedback on directions you'd like staff to take further.
Okay. Any question for Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Titla, you had a question around the question of how we're triaging between, how we're making decisions around different different tribal different communities. Did you want to?
Chairman, thank you, Ms. Roberts, for all the good work you've been doing. This is a very impressive presentation that you've done. With regard to the translation, efforts that you're working on. I think that that's a positive development for clean elections, because I've been reading the statute here, a statute that we're working under, and the effort is, it says that we have an effort to reach all communities in the state of Arizona. And I think that you mentioned in your outreach efforts that you're going to have the translation into Navajo language. Would there be other translation to other tribes?
We can certainly explore that. As of right now, through the context that I have from the Secretary of State's work session that was focused on Navajo, we felt that in time for the general election, since we're on such a short time frame, we felt that translating the pamphlet into Navajo language, and especially since that is the highest number of speakers, we thought that was a measure that we could put into place immediately. We are not looking to be exclusive by any means. We can certainly see what other translating options we have on state contract, and we can get quotes on those, but with our budget right now and with the time frame from the general election, we felt that it would be best to focus on the Navajo language for now, but we are certainly open to exploring future languages.
Yeah, there are other tribes in Arizona besides the Navajo, so I think that it would be important to reach the other tribes also, because the other tribes will say that we are not Navajo and that we are our own tribes with our own distinctive language. So I would encourage Mr. Collins and all the staff at Clean Elections to look at the other languages. For example, you have the Apache tribes, the Hopi tribes, and if you look at the map you had up there, the Arizona map, mm-hmm. you had the large reservations, Navajo and Hopi and White Mountain Apache, San Carlos Apache, Tohono O'odham down there in Sales. And then Gila River, south of here, Phoenix, and some of those larger tribes. I think it would be good to have some translation, not to the extent that you translate all the pamphlets or anything, but I think it would be important to translate that the clean election exists and that the purpose and the message that Clean Elections is doing, I think it would be important to put that in the radio, at least, for these distinctive tribes. In Apache, for example, you could have announcements in Apache radio saying what Clean Election does and what the purpose of it is, because I haven't heard it. I haven't heard Clean Elections on any radio yet, on any Apache radio or on any Navajo radio, because I listen to that sometimes when I go up to a meeting up there. I put the Navajo radio on, and I don't know if you know that, but Apache tribes and Navajo tribes have the same linguistic base, which is Athabascan. Okay. Athabascan linguistic base for Navajo, Apaches, and Athabascans in Alaska, and Athabascans in the Northwest Territories of Canada. All they have the same linguistic base. So I can kind of follow along what the Navajos are talking about on the radio. But not everything, just a little bit. But with regard to the Hopis and the Pima tribes and the others, they sound like Russian to me. I don't understand anything with those tribes. So I would encourage that for this election that you put some messages on the radio in the Apache language, in the Hopi language, and the Pima languages with regard to clean elections. It doesn't have to be an extensive pamphlet-wise translation, but you can just message Clean Elections, saying Clean Elections is about this, this is what they do. Because I think that that's what we do in the English language, and you do that to the Spanish language too, I think, it's on the radio. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important, very critical that we do that so that we can follow up on all the goals and objectives of the Clean Elections law and the act that was put forth by the citizens. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we can definitely look into that. And since we're not talking about the entire pamphlet, I think that hopefully our translation budget will allow for that. So we can definitely explore options, and we can focus on getting those simple messages out on the radio station. So we will definitely look forward into that.
I think the focus here is to get something out there on a common media outlet, even if we don't get the full pamphlet. So, but to Commissioner Titlis's point. Commissioner Hoffman, you had a question?
I had some comments. First of all, I thank you for great first presentation. That's just fabulous. It's really good that you're looking into these issues, and I congratulate you on that. Second of all, I agree with Commissioner Titla's point that getting out a general message of what clean elections is I think, important. I'm glad to hear that Commissioner Titler and Mr. Collins are going to be doing those kinds of outreach efforts. And if there's any need for me to help, I'd be happy to do that as well. With regard to the translation issue, particularly of the pamphlet or any other stuff, I know we have limited budget, and I commend your decision to go after the Navajo language, because the data that is sitting in the back of our binder indicates that there are over 88,000 Navajo speakers, and looks like about a quarter of those, 21,000, are speak English less than very well, which means that there's a large opportunity to reach people who are not going to otherwise be hearing the message in English. Those are significant numbers. They're not quite as high as Spanish, where there's over a million and a quarter speakers and 600,000 that don't speak very well, but don't speak English very well, at least according to what they think. But it's still a significant sector of the state. With regard to other Indian languages, Native American languages, however, it looks like the next highest one on your data is Apache, which has got 11,500 speakers, and only 346 don't speak English very well, though. Just in taking a quick look through, it looks like there are more French speakers, more German speakers, more Chinese speakers, more Vietnamese speakers, and more Arabic speakers than there are Apache speakers. And there are probably maybe 10 other languages, including such obscurities as Lithuanian, where there are more people who don't speak English very well than there are Apache or others. And so if it's a question of budget and where we spend money and whether, whether we should devote additional resources, I think we might want to, sort of go in order of the languages in frequency, particularly on those that that don't speak English very well. If it turns out that some of the tribes are interested and willing to help with their own resources, I certainly think we ought to cooperate. But in terms of spending extra money by the state money on the commission, I think we ought to do it where it has the most impact. And I just wanted to, add that comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. Yes, absolutely. We feel that we will have those partnerships where those grassroots efforts will be there. So when we provide information on clean elections, when we educate our partners, they will in turn, so the county recorders, the county election staffs, the chapter houses, the Navajo Election Administration, the Native American tribal leaders that we're going to reach out to, aside from just Navajo, we're going to hit all of them across the state. We're hoping that they can also take our information and in turn translate that to their community members. So that is one option. And some of these radio stations, they do have their own internal translators that hopefully it will be part of our media buy when we purchase that airtime. So the translation costs will be covered there as well. So we do have some options. And of course, if we ever were to get one request from our office for a translation service, whether that is in Russian or Chinese, we would do our best to accommodate that specific request if an individual were to contact us directly.
That makes sense, and I thank you for the response. I think you're right, in short, right on target, and I appreciate your efforts. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Mr. Collins, do you need any formal direction from us, or is this something I think with next year's planning, we can do what we can right now, but maybe
right. I think there was mostly an update with direction we're moving. I think we'll take the guidance we've gotten here and integrate it into our planning forward, and we'll update you as appropriate.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ms. Roberts.
Thank you.
All righty, that being it, the case, item number 10, public comment. This is a time for consideration of comments and suggestions from the public. Action taken.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay, action taken as a result of public comment will be limited to directing staff to study the matter or rescheduling the matter for further consideration and decision at a later date or responding to criticism. Do I have any people with public comments?
Mr. Chairman, members, I wanted to address one thing that Mr. Collins said during his executive director's report, and that has to do with the Secretary of State inquiries into the independent expenditure organizations. And I thought I would just stick around and do this to probably give you a little bit of my experience with it. I represent the Arizona Free Enterprise Club, and the Secretary of State last week had decided to send the matter over to the Attorney General's office. So we'll be working with the Attorney General's office on that. But in specific response to Mr. Collins' comment about there being confusion out there among different groups, about there not being any guidance or policies from which these groups to follow, he's absolutely correct. The statute that is in play at section 16-914.02, subsection K, I believe it is, says that if an entity is organized for the primary purpose of influencing elections, then it needs to file as a political committee. Now, when we first got the audit letter from the Secretary of State, I had sent a letter to the Secretary of State's office asking if we could have a meeting to talk about what they mean by organized primarily for the purpose. What time period do they take into account? What kind of expenditure ratios or calibrations do they take into account? What kind of other social welfare activity do they want to take into account? They refused my meeting. So we sent them a letter. Our letter was about 8 pages, substantially longer than any letter that was sent by any other organization. We provided them with detail on the types of activity that the organization has been doing over the past election cycle, as we defined it, and still we were the recipient of that decision. So I don't want to talk, any more about that unless you have any specific questions that I might be able to answer, given this pending investigation. But I did want to share that with you and second Mr. Collins' comment about why it's important to give regulated entities some guidance going forward on what the government expects so that the regulated entities can comply. Because I will tell you, as somebody who works with regulated entities, we do want to comply. We want to over-comply with the law so that there's no question whether something's being done legally or not. And so we ask you that you take that into consideration as you move forward with that particular item.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very good comment. Thank you.
I have one other point. I needed to go back to on LFAF, and I don't know if we would need to say that we're going back up, or if I can just do this in public comment, Chris. If it doesn't matter, if I'm not asking for a response or discussion.
Well, you could just basically go back up to it. So since it's on the agenda,
okay. We have a real quick thing I have to close out there.
Sure. Please.
Okay. Just that, I intend to present to the commission an updated recommendation based on the case that was decided, the CJF case.
Yes, and I don't know if a motion is required for that, but I think that is the instruction, the sentiment of the commission is that, yes, we'd like in light of the case that was released by the Arizona Appellate Division One, I think, we'd like to have the recommendation, the analysis that you provided earlier, updated to include the decision, and then make a recommendation based on the updated analysis.
Yeah, so. I just want to put that out there.
Sure. Yes, and that is something we would like. So. Okay. That being it, I call for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
All righty. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimously passes. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Leaving the meeting.
Rich Laird.
All righty. Yeah. I'm longer than I thought it would go, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff.